Okay, so welcome to tonight's call. You know what? Let me go ahead and mute the line so we can let one person on at a time. Hold on 1 second. Okay, so now they're set up. So welcome to tonight's Q&A call. I'm here with Chris Kenny. My name is Nancy Roberts. And we are right now just starting to get into the nitty-gritty of the Think Pink program. We've been having coaching sessions with quite a few of you, and you've been letting us know that the calls have sort of hit you right between the eyes. I did a call on financial blueprint a couple weeks ago, and then Chris just did a call on procrastination, and we've heard from a lot of you that, you know, we're really touching some deep topics, which is sort of the intention of this program. We didn't want to graze the surface. We ourselves like to go deep, you know, when we're coaching people, so we present topics that have been really profound for us. So we're really happy that you're experiencing, you know, the material the way that you are. So basically, if you want to ask a question, all you have to do is hit *6 on your phone, and it'll unmute your line, and then we'll be able to hear you. So who would like to jump in? Go ahead and hit *6 to unmute your line. Now that I have everybody's name, I can call on them and ask them if they have a question.
Okay, this is Karina. I'll just jump in.
Hi, Karina.
Hey. I do have a question about being perceived as aggressive versus assertive. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that I was asking this is because after thinking about procrastinating and why I don't make certain calls, or why I've failed to form chatter to the extent where I know I need to, like just mm-hmm. push beyond the numbers so that I can get what I want. It's because on several occasions in my circumstance, I have been called pushy, not mm-hmm. always directly, but recently I did actually have one customer say that. Mm-hmm. But it's not that I'm overgeneralizing. I know Chris is going to say you're overgeneralizing, but actually it's enough of a theme that's recurred.
Okay.
Enough that I would really say, no, I need to look at it. And when I've talked to my director about it, the unfortunate thing is that she, too, throughout her 30 years of being a Mary Kay director, shared that she had a lot of struggling, you know, with her people skills. So I can't really go to her because she shared so much and she's helped me to a certain point. But I think I'm introspective enough to understand and know that I am pushy at sometimes, but for me, it's very hard to know how to be persuasive and positively persistent without being perceived as pushy enough times that I'm feeling like, okay, it's not just one person saying this. Does that make sense?
It does. So Chris and I are looking at each other right now, figuring out who's going to go first.
Well, you go first.
Well, you said that's not what you were going to say.
No, I wasn't going to say that you were overgeneralizing.
Well, only because I think sometimes we do that a lot, right? We have an experience, and we do tend to just think, oh, well, everything's like that. Mm-hmm. But in my case, the theme has recurred in my team where they're just – the ones that I get that from are the ones that are really not invested in their business. It's more personal use. It's hobby. So I can see where sometimes I've pushed them too far because my goals are much more extravagant. They're, you know, and then the customers have been different ones and in different circumstances. And I think it's just not knowing really how to address everybody's personality style, really.
My guess is that Nancy and I are going to have two different answers on it, so I guess I kind of want Nancy to go first just to say what's on her mind, and then I'll say what's on mine, and you can pull from
okay.
it what you like.
So I have a zillion thoughts running through my head. So let's see if I can, like, organize these to make some sense. So first of all, I commend you for being, number one, so upfront and so honest with this issue and being so willing to take a look at it. Because a lot of people go through their life, get this type of feedback, and never do anything with it. They just figure it's everybody else's problem. There's other people that get the feedback, and they're so crushed by it, namely children, that they cave and they hold back and they pull back for the rest of their lives. So in my past, I've always said that when the first time I get feedback on something or criticism or something like that, that very well could just be that other person's problem, and most likely is. It's just how they're seeing it, viewing it, et cetera. But I've always thought that if I got the same feedback three times, that I now needed to you know, take a serious look at what I was being told, because there was an opportunity or room for growth there. So I think that's what you're up against, is that, you know, part of what we teach is that everybody's just projecting their stuff onto you. So if somebody thinks you're aggressive or pushy, they're just projecting their own stuff onto you. But what you're questioning is, at what point do we take personal responsibility after getting the same feedback over and over again?
Yeah.
Oh, right? So it's, it sounds kind of like a conflicting message. Is it their problem or is it my problem?
Right.
Right?
And to what extent? Yeah. And when is it really my issue, or when is it? Yeah, exactly.
Right. So here's what I think. I think because people are so different, I'm going to assume that there are people in your life that love you. I'm going to assume that there's customers who love you and team members that you have that love you. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to verify.
Yes, I agree.
Is nobody that loves you, Karina? Okay, so there's people that love you, and then there's people that think you're too abrupt or too abrasive.
Yep.
So that does show you that different personalities are going to react and respond differently to how you are. So you can be the exact same way with 10 different people and have 10 different reactions to that way of being. So all I would say is that in the situation that you're in where you actually want to influence a lot of different people and a lot of different personalities, the thing to do is to let people know that you're afraid you're going to come off too pushy. So it's almost like a preemptive strike. If you're in a conversation and you realize you're getting too passionate and you realize you're getting, you know, kind of emotional and really wanting this person to sign up or really wanting this person to hold a party, then you need to let them know that your fear is that you're going to come across too pushy. In my experience, most women are so much about making each other feel better that they will say, no, you're fine. That's not a problem. Don't worry. You know, I can take it. Bring it on. And they'll give you permission, you know, to be yourself. That was my first thought. So let's see what Chris has.
You know, it's a tough one, because I'm torn. I'm torn on it. I'm being honest. And the first thought that I had was congratulations, because it means to me, when you say that you're actually starting to promote yourself at the level that you need to promote yourself to be successful. Because here's what happens. When you start to ask more people, you start to make more calls, and you start to really embrace the passion that you have for your business, when you're putting yourself out more and you're in front of more people, the numbers show that naturally there's going to be more people that don't like you. That's just part of it. And we run into that as well, because we market. We have to market. We have to sell. If we don't market and we don't sell, we can't help people. We can't live our mission. And it's something that's in our hearts. But I've been called pushy. I've been called aggressive. I've been called selfish. I've been called all those things. But here's what I do with that. And I'm wondering if you can do something similar. And I always say, take what you like from what you hear and leave the rest. So if this doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. That's fine. But for me, I know that the work that I'm doing is in my heart. And I know that the work that I'm doing is what I'm called here to do. And if the worst thing that happens to me is somebody thinks I'm pushy from time to time, or even a few times, but I'm staying in my authentic self, meaning I'm being the person, again, that I feel like I was called here to be, I let it roll off, because my message is more important than that. That's just the way I feel about it. And I say that, I'm trying to say it carefully, because I don't want to make it sound like I don't care completely, what other people think. But I think one of the reasons that that is happening to me less, because it is happening to me less, is that when I speak about what we do, I am always, always, always speaking from the core of my being and my heart. You see what I'm saying, Karina? Just speaking from my heart. I try so darn hard, and this is truly what I want to project, and again, I think it's truly who I am. I try to come from service. So if you are having a conversation, like Nancy said, where you're feeling a little bit too aggressive, a little bit too pushy, and you're starting to feel that, totally just get into your heart and say it. I love the fact that she said communicate it. But the reason I'm being this way is because I know that this can help you. I know this can serve you. I know this can change your life. I know these products will help you look more beautiful. I know these products will help you feel more beautiful. And I know this opportunity can change your life. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying.
It's so funny you both said that because it's been a process and it's been a journey. And I think it is first and foremost because I've learned that I've just love so much the DISC. It's changed my life. So I just want to thank you both because, quite honestly, being able to be informed and understanding that not everyone is going to be of the same personality style, you know, being a high I, wanting to be loved, wanting to be appreciated. I mean, it's sometimes conflictive, but what I found was that there was a part of me that was passionate about the business that I wasn't willing to give up. That was going to be who I was going to be because I knew that this business was much more than just selling the lipstick, you know. And so I'll never change that, and that's why I'm continuing to push through. And, you know, and I've been back and forth, you know, on the ladder of success. But my goal is non-negotiable now. But it's with the sales. That's why I wanted to bring that part out because if anybody else on the call is experiencing that with the sales part, I didn't know how to balance. I didn't know how to be able to share a product that I absolutely love because I'm a top seller and I'm the number one in my unit. If I wasn't doing it enough, I wouldn't be selling to anybody. But at the same time, I'm losing customers. I'm losing people that have told me, you know, you're too pushy and that's why I don't want to come back to you. And that, to me, is not acceptable. Like, so I kind of think, how could it be so contradicting? How could I be the number one in my unit and still have enough people say, you know, you've pushed me, put me off. Or it's like you said, I guess you said it, Chris, the more you continue to do it, you're going to find more people that, you know.
Just the law of numbers. Again, I'm not saying to ignore it, and I love that you're paying attention to it, but our suggestion is speak from your heart. And if that's what people say to you and you need to say back to them and it makes you feel good and it makes you feel complete, then let them know why you're that way. But, you know, it's, here's what happens is if the people that don't resonate with the way you deliver your message, if you lose all your energy and put all your energy into that, that depletes your energy to actually reach out to those that would receive you well. So at the end of the day, you end up impacting fewer people. And you know, I always tell people it's through giving that we receive. It's through giving that we receive. You're compensated by the number of people that you impact. So at the end of the day, if you're losing all of your energy on the few people that don't resonate with you, that energy is being taken, and then you don't have it for those that will resonate.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Would love to hear anybody else's thoughts on that, anybody else's perspective.
Hi, it's Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. I'm contemplating all of this because, like, I'm on the other end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I, over the years, have ended up with customers because their consultants were too pushy. So I'm trying to determine, but at the same time, my sales are not outrageously high. And as a matter of fact, Nancy and I talked about my financial blueprint. My sales have probably been the same for 5 years. But So I don't really know what's the better approach to it, because I tend to have a very, very, very loyal customers, and I tack on a few more every year, but I don't get outrageously high sales. Like, it sounds like Karina, is that who the name? Like she does, but I have customers who I've totally built relationships with that I try hard every day to fill what their needs are, and they appreciate that relationship. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what's the better approach then, you know?
The better approach is to do more of what you're good at. In other words, Karina's...
Because I'm a different personality. I'm like the total S, you know,
right.
in that motivator assessment. That's where I'm at. The D, it's very hard for me to pull a D out of anywhere. But,
right.
Yeah.
I just think, again, do more of what you're good at. I guess what I want everybody to grasp and what I want you to grasp, Carolyn, is that it's hard for us to be what we're not. And
mm-hmm.
It's really important for you to be authentic to who you are. And it's really important for Karina to be authentic to who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we try to divert from that, it drains our energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a high S and you're loyal and you love to build relationships, then that's your selling style. And in my opinion, that's the style you should be in. Karina's selling style is a little bit different. That's authentic to her. It's who she is. It works for her. Your selling style works for you. But your challenge is, Carolyn, you have to do more of it.
Right.
That's it. Stay in who you are, because who you are is enough. But do more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means higher volume of calls. Here's the
right.
good news. The good news is, once you get a buyer and you have a client, they're going to be with you forever. You're going to get massive reorder business.
Mm-hmm.
So there's positive to that. But my answer is stay in what's authentic to you. Don't try to change. I don't think anybody on the phone should try to change who they are.
And I would agree with that, except I want you to remember something. Everyone should remember that the DISC styles are adaptable, so meaning you can flex your style. It's the beauty of DISC, or D-I-S-C. So while, yes, we wouldn't say fundamentally, you know, Carolyn, we want you to go become a D, because that would be like turning yourself inside out. And same thing with Karina. There are times you can adapt your style for the person that you're talking to. So, Carolyn, there may come times where you can pull your D up a little bit, just become a little bit more assertive, maybe ask the person one more time when you normally wouldn't, and that's pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Karina would be the opposite. There may be times where she could flex or try to adapt herself by pulling back a little bit and seeing if that would help at certain times. So there's, you know, there's one or two ways to approach leadership. There's great leaders and business owners who are very good at flexing themselves and adapting to other people. And they are. They're like chameleons, you know. They calm down for the S's. They get more aggressive with the D's. So that's one approach. If you're good at reading people and you're good at adapting yourself, then by all means do that. If that is not something that you can do or do well, then Chris is absolutely right. It's all about the numbers, because in any population, there's going to be a percentage of people who love you and a percentage of people who hate you. We just heard at an event where we were over the weekend, a speaker was speaking, and he said, when you're speaking in front of an audience, he goes, think of it like this. 10% of that audience will love you no matter what you do. You could do something wrong. That audience was with you. They're adoring fans, and they love you. 10% of that audience hates you. And he goes, and it has nothing to do with you, and it doesn't matter what you do to try to win them over. They're just going to hate you. And then there's that 80% in between that can flex either way, and depending on how you present yourself and how you connect with them, can be swayed either one direction or the other. It's the same with your customers and the same with the people that you meet. There's 10% that are just destined to not like you. No matter what you try and do, you remind them of their mother-in-law. They hated the name Carolyn because the little girl bullied them when she was little named that. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things we don't have control over. So Chris is absolutely right. Don't waste time trying to figure out how to get everyone to like you, look at what your mission is and go pursue your mission. Did I leave you speechless?
Yep. That sounds good. I'm writing.
Oh, okay. That's always a good sign.
And I just want to say that I'm also a high S, and I was a Circle of Excellence salesperson. I sold the same way you do, Caroline. I sold through relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
what I would
you're right
suggest
about the numbers.
Do
more of it. You're right.
Yeah, it's do more of it. Build more relationships, but build them through your client base.
Right.
So your clients love you. You have great relationships with your clients. They're long-term relationships. If I'm you, I'm on the phone with those clients, and I'm getting referred to other people like them. And I'm building my business inside out from my clients.
Right.
Rather than outside in.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? You know what I mean when I say inside out versus outside in?
Yep, perfectly. Mm-hmm.
So reach out, utilize those relationships so that you can build more relationships and impact more people.
Mm-hmm.
So being a high S does not mean you have to have low sales.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so, Karina, here's how to use your aggressiveness to get more sales. When somebody tells you you're too pushy and they don't want to work with you anymore, say, that's great. Thanks for the feedback. Is there anyone you can refer me to?
Yeah, like they really want to refer me. Well, I was just thinking, when he said that, I thought, oh, holy smokes, you know, I've worked so hard. I've worked so hard in the last 2.5, almost 3 years, and I have piles and piles and piles of customer profile cards, and I do not have the reorder business that I would want to have right now. And that's what I was thinking. I want to be the Carolyn. I want to be, and I have the motivation to do this business for my family. But somehow I'm not developing those long-term relationships. You know, so there's some breakdown there. But anyway, that will be on a personal one-on-one coaching call. I'll leave it for then.
Sounds good. Thank
Chris
you.
And Nancy, can I say something? This is Iva.
Hey, Iva. Sure.
Hi. Okay. You know, I can really relate to Karina, and I've been in Mary Kay for 28 years, and with my excitement and my over-enthusiasm and stuff that I know at times, and I was told at times, too, that it came across pushy, and I still make, and at times I still feel like I can come across that way, but there are a couple techniques that I've learned, and I guess the one question I have, you know, just in my mind here is, like, how is it that people are feeling like, you know, we're coming across being pushy? And so is it, like, calling them too often, or is it you know, like calling too often for reorders or something like that? I mean, I'm asking, like, you know, I'd be asking myself, like, what is it that makes them feel like they're being pushy? Now, for me, some of it is learning techniques of how, because I'm an I and a D, and I can come across really pushy and strong. So I've had to learn when I'm working with different personalities to lower my voice and to speak more slowly. And then to ask questions, like, for instance, with my customers, to say, would you rather have me call you? I want to give you good customer service, but would you rather have me call you every 6 weeks or every 8 weeks? Now, when I call them in 6 or 8 weeks, they're expecting it. So learning that. And then the other thing, I even said this today, like I was calling someone following up, and I just said, you know, I don't want you to feel like I'm stalking you or you're being pushed, and whatever you want to do is fine. But if you could just call me back and let me know if you're interested in having a party or if you're not, that's okay too. So part of it for me is just learning skills of how to word it and how to lower my voice and how to say it. And I don't know if that might help at all or not.
I think it's great, Iva.
Oh.
I was going to say I think it's great, and I think from a perspective of sort of achieving a subconscious connection to somebody, what I've heard is to match their tone of voice and match their pace of speech.
Yeah, or people can come across feeling defensive if I'm speaking really loud and if I'm speaking at them versus being with them and asking questions and asking for permission, or even like Nancy said, just stating the obvious. I mean, if you feel, I don't want you to feel like you're being stalked or like I'm being pushy. But, you know, I would like to know what you're thinking. If you're interested, fine. And if you're not, that's okay too. But would you just let me know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I always say confront the elephant in the room.
Exactly. And then, you know, then I let it go. And, like, if this gal returns my call, fine. And if she doesn't, you know, that's okay too. Because, you know, there's times I don't return calls or I'm not honest with people and just saying, you know, not right now or something like that. Or in my life when I didn't know how to say no. So I have compassion for those people, but I just move on then.
And I just want to tell you that I think you're brilliant.
Thank you, Nancy.
Because just in your little, like, explanation there, you touched on a fundamental law of human behavior, which is consistency.
Uh-huh.
So when you said, I asked them, would you prefer I call you in 6 weeks or in 8 weeks? When you call them, of course they're not upset because people want to.
No, they're expecting, yeah.
Yeah, and they want to be consistent with what they've said. So if they've said it's okay to call in 8 weeks or 6 weeks,
right,
and they're not going to be upset because they're the ones that said it was okay.
Yeah,
and
we're educating our customers, yeah.
Right, and then the other skill that you touched on was it's a dialogue skill called contrasting.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it says when you're afraid that you're being misunderstood,
mm-hmm.
it's probably because the person is interpreting your behavior
mm-hmm.
to mean an intention that you may not be intending. So,
right.
So people can't read our hearts, so they're just looking at our external behavior and trying to decide, do we have a good intention or a bad intention? So when they're starting to get a little bit of resistance, so Karina, this is useful for you. When you start to sense a little bit of resistance in the person, contrasting is a great skill to use, and how it goes is by telling them what it is that you do intend and what it is that you don't intend. Or start with the don't. So, you know, I don't intend to push you, or I'm not intending to make you feel pushed. What I really do want you to understand is how this business could change your life, you know, or whatever it is that you really want them to understand. So use that skill of contrasting. I do intend, I don't intend.
Well, and there's the law of any time that we're heavily pursuing someone, they're going to distance. So when we pull back, then that's going to pull them to us. So,
brilliant.
You know.
It's brilliant.
You should be coaching people.
No, it's totally true. And one thing the one thing a person can't do when you're always chasing them is they can't chase you.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's just like if you have a boyfriend, you can find 10 others. If you don't have one, you can't find one.
Oh, true.
That's not necessarily true, but what I'm saying is there's that pursuing and pulling back, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a tango. You know, if you take 2 steps back, the person has to take 2 steps forward.
And for Katrina, you know, these are, you know, what I appreciate about her is that she's willing to learn and she wants to learn and she's saying, you know, I've got a stack of profiles. I don't have the reorder business. So the question is then how are these customers or whoever it is that's given her this feedback, where do they see that? You know, we can really learn because, I mean, I had to take, and I still do, have to take every situation and say, okay, how can I learn from that?
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. Absolutely. Great. Thank you so much for sharing, Iva.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Okay, so anybody else have anything they want to add to this conversation or a question of their own they'd like to ask? Just go ahead and hit *6.
Hi, Nancy and Chris. It's Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
I have a procrastination question.
Sure.
I am getting ready to go on a trip, and I'm going to be out of the country and so essentially unavailable for about a week and a half. And I'm kind of, the story I'm telling myself is that I don't want to do my calls and do my bookings because if I book them for more than 2 weeks out, they probably won't hold and I can't cram all these things into the next 4 days before I leave, and so why would I make the calls? and I know that you guys travel a lot, and so I didn't know if you'd run into motivation issues or other things when you're scheduling appointments and doing all the traveling that you do.
Yeah, and Oh, it's feeling abrupt. It's interesting. I feel like every answer I have is really abrupt.
That's right. Bring it, dude.
seriously, I feel like you should be able to go away for a week and a half, and that's okay. And I agree with you. If you book an appointment 2 weeks out, it's probably not going to hold. I believe that what you said is true. So, you know, with that in mind, I guess my approach would probably be, instead of reaching out to new at that particular point, I'd probably be looking to reach out to people in my client base, people that I have rapport with, and I'd be trying to set things up with them, because the likelihood of those appointments holding would be much greater.
Okay.
What are your thoughts, Nance?
You know, I'm gonna share a really contrary opinion.
Yeah. We do this once in a while. Y'all, you might think we agree on everything, but
no,
it's just not true.
Yeah, we don't. because, well, I'm just going to give you my own personal experience. When I book someone out 2 weeks who I intend to sell something to,
mm-hmm.
It does seem like very often they go poof. They disappear. And, you know, 2-3 weeks out, they, you know, whatever happens. But when I book somebody for coffee, I'm trying to think of different examples. We've been so busy lately with our travel, I haven't been able to book anyone in the next 2 weeks. So I've been booking people out 2-3 weeks. And lo and behold, I show up and they're there. Or I send them an email confirming our, you know, coffee at Starbucks and they're there. So I'm starting to wonder if when my energy behind something is just purely, I want to sell this person something, are they picking up on my energy, and is that why they go poof, versus when I'm networking with a woman or when I really sense I can help this person and I just want to get together with them for coffee to chat. And I may end up selling them our coaching services, but not necessarily starting from that intention. These people don't disappear on me. So I'm almost wondering if, in one, they also know that I'm busy and they know it's not easy to get on my calendar. And what that does is it creates the impression of increase. It's something, it's a term we get from a book called The Science of Getting Rich.
Uh-huh.
And it means that everything that you do, you want to leave the other person with the impression of increase. So what says the impression of increase or abundance? An empty calendar where you're desperate to put anybody in any time slot because you're wide open, or you saying to people when they say, yeah, I I'd be open to meeting with you. Okay, great. Well, my travel schedule is really busy over the next 2 weeks, so can we pick something in the first week in May? Now, you don't even have to say that it's vacation that you're going on, right? All of a sudden, that person's left with, wow, Jennifer's busy. She's got a lot of stuff going on. And then when you book that appointment, I think they're less likely to cancel.
I agree with everything that you just said. I do. I think that's a brilliant response. And I think there's so much value and so much truth in the energy you bring to the conversation. Our energy, when we're selling, quote, selling, because remember when we talked about this on the procrastination call and on the, I think even on the fear call, that selling is giving. And you want to come from a place of service, no matter what the conversation is. And if you truly are coming from service and that's your energy, then I think Nancy's right. The appointments hold. And I love what you pointed out about the impression of increase. I think that we've done that. We've been so busy that we try to focus on creating that. But I think sometimes we create it even more so just because our schedules are full. So I think it's true what she said. So I think it's brilliant.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, I knew I wasn't using the right words when I was thinking about it or even, like, talking about it, and so that helps. That, like, switched it over to I'm so busy, and it's, you know, yeah, that helps. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, because then they start looking forward to getting on your calendar.
Right?
Great. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, okay, awesome. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, go ahead and hit star 6 for the next question. These are good questions, by the way.
Can I add something about that last conversation?
Sure. Who is
this? It's Carolyn. I think what I would do in that situation is make my phone calls before I leave to all of my customers to make sure that they stock up on everything because I'm going to be out of town for a while and make sure there wasn't anything they needed. so I could get a bunch of sales before I leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would be booking out for when I get back, because I'm so excited about the makeover contest, that I would be booking and double booking everything for the week I get back. Usually when I go to seminar or when I go somewhere, before I leave, I book double everything for the week I get back.
That's
so
funny.
In the spirit of do more of what I'm good at, I would just say, you know, tell them how I am so excited about the makeover contest, that because I'm going to win the prize with the highest participation. I just know I am. And I just want them to be a part of the makeover contest, and I got to book everybody for the week I get back because we only have till June 4th to get everything in for the contest. And so just double book everything with the excitement, and then while you're gone even, send them all an email and tell them how excited you are for when you get back to see them for this, you know, for this appointment. And I think they'll hold, because if you can get them excited enough about it, and if you book more of it, then you're apt to hold more, right?
Yep, I agree. And I tend to confirm everything by email, too, a couple days in advance.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to work. So great. Thank you for sharing that.
This is Karina again. Just real quick, did somebody else have a question?
Thank you for asking. Let's check. Does anyone else have a question? Go ahead and hit star six. And I just wanted to say, look at the collective wisdom of this group. Chris and I could probably just open the lines and let you all coach each other.
Whoops, well, that would be me. Sorry.
I don't hear anyone.
If not, can I just ask about the comment you made? You both talked about numbers and saying you either work the numbers or you develop the skill to read people better. And I was just going to ask if both of you could share maybe one source of inspiration from, it could be a book or something that you felt has helped you become better at reading people and understanding people better.
That's great. Great question. Give us a second to think about it.
Yeah, that's fine. You can email me later if you want. I just felt like that's really what I want in life, is just to understand people better, to be a better person, to be a better mother, to be a better wife. And
oh, we got lots of books.
You know, right? Just that, just a better everything. So it would help.
Yeah, when
you know,
it comes to relating with people, the thing that I really struggled with and still struggle with at times, but much less since I've had access to this material, is the book Crucial Conversations. It's called Crucial Conversations. Who's the author?
There's four authors, but the main one is a man named Kerry Patterson, so K-E-R-R-Y, and then Patterson.
Okay, because I had gotten my hands on How to Win Friends and Influence People, or How to Influence People and Win Friends, I think, the Dale Carnegie one, but it was a little over my head, I guess. I felt like I needed something else, too.
Well, Crucial Conversations is great. What it's really meant for is to teach you how to have a difficult conversation with somebody. So let's say you want to go back to one of these people who said you're too aggressive. It gives you the tools and actually an entire formula of exactly how to have what would be considered a difficult or a crucial conversation with someone. And it's a book I've referred a hundred times, and, you know, it's where I started to learn why people react and do the things they do. Usually we have a story about why they're doing what they're doing, and they have a story about why we're doing what we're doing, and we're both off base. So that'll help with that.
Great.
And then next week, let me just double check our schedule, or not next week, sorry, next call. Let me double check the schedule. I think it's one you're all going to want to be on for sure. It's The Work. Yes, Gaining Freedom Through Work. And that call is actually based on another book. It's fine if you want to get the book ahead of time. And read the book before the call. It would give you a lot of foundational information on it.
but the book is called Loving What Is. And I'd say that's less about understanding others and more about understanding yourself. But it's called Loving What Is, and the author is Byron Katie. Byron Katie, B-Y-R-O-N-K-A-T-I-E.
And Byron Katie's a woman.
Yep, she sure is.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And if I think of any others, I'll email it to you.
Thank you.
Okay. So if anybody else has a question, go ahead and hit star six. I'm actually just trying to think of other books to recommend.
Nancy?
Yes?
It's Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Hey, I'm going to report on my assignment from this morning.
Oh, excellent.
I did. I called 7 people.
Uh-huh.
And 4 of them I was not able to get. But, no, actually 3 of them I didn't get. 1 of them I have to call back. But 3 of them did. They were very receptive, and they placed an order, and I felt very brave.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you committed to just calling 6, right?
Right, yeah, so I added 1.
Oh, look at that. Wow. So you got some momentum.
Yeah, and Jennifer made me unmute and tell you that.
Good. I'm glad she's holding you accountable.
Yep, she did.
That's great.
I'm very happy with that. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It just reminded me of something. And again, I don't remember off the top of my head if I shared this on the fear call or not. So I want to share with all of you now. And I think we talk about this again in the program, but it just popped up in my mind. So I'm going to share it. And what the goal was for Gail, from what I understand, is the goal was to make 7 calls or make 6 calls. Oh. The nice thing about that goal is it was a completely activity-based goal, not an outcome-based goal. It wasn't like, I'm going to call until I get 3 bookings. Because sometimes we're just not in control of the result, but we are in control of the activity. So when we set a goal that's based on activity, we're completely in control of achieving it, and whether or not we achieve it or don't achieve it is completely up to us. Now, how does this relate to fear? And I read something. I still read books on fear to this day because it's a topic that I love. And the other day I read something that I thought was really profound. And what it said was it talked about our mind, and it talked about the difference between what's called task orientation and ego orientation. And what the author said was that when we move into ego orientation, that's when we become fearful. Now, here's the difference. Task orientation is being focused on completing a task. Being ego-oriented is when we start to think about what everybody else is going to think of us while we are doing the task, and what everybody else is going to think about us if we don't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to stay in task orientation, which means focus on the task, and the task is make your 6 calls. When we start to shift into ego, in other words, what does everybody think about me? Do they think I'm pushy? Do they think I'm annoying? When you start to move the mind into those places, what you're doing is you're moving into ego orientation. And it's ego orientation that creates fear. So the goal is to stay present, stay in the now. Remember the question, am I good enough to make 1 call right now? It keeps you present. And it keeps you focused on task rather than ego.
I like that because I don't want to be an egomaniac. So I like thinking of it that way.
Great.
So thanks.
You're welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's the beginning.
Chris, I have a quick question again. This is Karina.
Hello.
Hey, I you mentioned maybe a few calls back, you all were talking about looking at the stack of leads to call. It was related to booking. And when I'm thinking of all the customers that don't respond to me, I wonder at what point, and it could just be because this is what I'm seeing as a pattern. The majority of the people who don't respond to me are the ones that have been preferred to be contacted via email. And it's not the way I prefer to contact people, you know. So I had to take a look at that and understand that, you know, I'm not really speaking their love language. So that could be part of it. But the other part is, if I do respond to them the way they want to be responded to, if now in the future I remember to ask how often they want to be, you know, contacted, I can do that now. But what do you do at the point when you feel stuck, when you've already had all these patterns, you know? So I'm 2 years into this, 3 years into this with all these people who I don't really hear back from. At what point do you just let them go and then move on in terms of finding new customers?
Well, I would say if it's truly been that long that some of these people have been on your list, if it's not taking a separate action to contact them, like you're not sending each of these people their separate email, then you can blast the same email, like a promotional email or a, hey, here's what's up, you know, email, to a group of people with a click of a button, right? So it doesn't really take you any more time. Whether they're getting the email, reading the email, or have marked your emails for their junk email folder a long time ago or not, you'll never know. But I say leave them on there, on that email distribution list, as long as it's not taking any more of your time. Now, if you're, like, calling these people, I would say if you haven't, what would you say, 3 months?
Three to six months.
If you haven't heard back from somebody and you're still reaching out every 30 days or something like that, that would be enough for me to move them to a mass email distribution list. And so, you know, occasionally, you know, somebody who was on your list 2 years ago will pop up. It just happened to me today. I spoke at a CEO summit almost 4 years ago in Boston, and there was a woman that was on my list. Now, she owns a company, and she had run a few DISC assessments. That's what I do with companies. She had run a few DISC assessments back, you know, when I first met her, but nothing ever came of it. We didn't do any more work than that. She's been on my email newsletter list now for almost 4 years, contacts me last week, says, hey, I've been on your newsletter list since the summit back in 2008, whatever it was. I need to hire a new general manager, and I'd like to use your profiles. And I chatted with her today, and it's most likely that she's going to move ahead and use the process that I offer. So there was no harm in leaving her on my distribution list. Again, it doesn't make a difference whether I email 50 people or 5,000 people. But I'm still putting out good content, good information, and that rare person will pop up from a couple of years ago.
I guess because mine is not so much, I guess I could just do an e-card then if that's what you, like I'm trying to plug it in with Mary Kay, but there's a preferred customer mailing that we pay for and that, you know, if they were a skincare customer, they have to replenish their skincare. So if they haven't replenished in a year or 6 months.
I agree. If it's costing you money, Karina, or it's costing you time, yeah, I'd let them go, unless anyone else has wisdom that has proven otherwise, I would let them go after 6 months and find new people.
Can I hop in with something, Nancy?
Sure.
It's Jennifer again. I've been doing a lot of, like, bridal leads and, like, working with new people.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's a personal kind of hard thing if I don't hear back from a lot of people or even with referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of texting, but what I do is if I haven't heard from them in a couple weeks or maybe a month, I'll send one more text message and I'll say, hi, Karina, this is Jennifer again. It's never my intention to bother anyone, and so this is the last time I'll try to contact you and remind them of they want their pampering package or whatever and then take it back to does daytime or evening work better. And I had maybe three people respond to me last week that a month ago didn't text me at all. So I don't know if you, like, maybe that helps. You could modify it for, like, your current customers or I don't know, and I just thought about spring cleaning, quote, my customer base and just saying, hi, you know, I just want to make sure that you're still happy with this and you want to stay on my mailing list, or I don't know. So I don't know if any of that helps, but I do like that last attempt text message because then it releases me, and if I don't hear from them for another week or so, then I let them go.
And I hope, Karina, you heard the exact language that she used. She said, it's never my intention to bother you.
She contrasted.
Yeah. Yep. It's not my intention. She uses contrasting. It's not my intention to bother you. I just want to make sure, you know, that you know about the blah, blah, blah. But this is the last email I'll send or the last text I'll send. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I've never heard of contrasting. I think I may have done it once, you know, and never again because I really I wasn't aware of it. So I personally think I'd feel good if I left a personal message with everyone and then followed up with text with the ones that I don't have that strong relationship with, but then I can release it, like you said, and move on.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
What I've done, I've moved around the country 6 times with my Mary Kay business in 20 years, so I've had to rebuild 6 times, and I've actually lived in the same place for 10 years now, so woohoo. But I have had neighbors for 10 years that, one in particular, that, I mean, they get invitations. I have a quarterly open house every quarter when the new lookbook comes out. Everybody gets an email from me to come and play with all the new stuff and to see everything, and, you know, they get a good deal for coming, another good deal, they bring a friend I don't know, and stuff like that. But I have email, group email lists, like mm-hmm. contact lists.
Yeah.
So I have my local customer group list and my general customer group list and my out-of-town customer list. And so I just send the group email out with the invitations. And so, like Nancy, like you were saying, it doesn't take me any extra time to send that group email mm-hmm. out to invite everybody to come on over, you know, once a quarter. And, you know, my neighbors have been on that list. And I had a neighbor this last quarter, and March 18th, she came. I was shocked. For 10 years, she's been getting an invitation.
That's
great. But I think maybe, Karina, the group email list might help if you can just, you know, invite them all to something or whatever every quarter or something and just leave them on the list, and you never know who's going to pop up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it's having systems. I like to have systems.
I think they're helpful. It's grown over 20 years. I'm like totally ADHD or something, so I have to have a system for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, systems are great. We use them a lot in our business, too. Okay, well, thank you for helping each other out. This is great.
Yeah, this is exactly what we want on a Q&A call, just by the way, because all of you are in the business and all of you have gifts to share and all of you have knowledge to share, and it's great when everybody starts to weigh in and then all this collective knowledge comes together.
And then Chris and I get to sit back and drink tea.
Oh, a good glass of wine.
After the call.
We already have that on the plan, believe it or not. We've got dinner. And then I'm looking out on the back deck going, it's awfully warm out there.
I just want to tell you all that I've been talking so much about this group, this coaching sessions, and I think I really, you know, when people are ready to step into leadership and want something more out of their business, it's such a blessing to have it, and I commend you all for doing it and for stepping into the roles that God has put you in, because you're sharing all your blessings with us. And then we're doing the same. And I want you to know it makes a difference. And it's made a difference with the smaller group of people who are on my team. But just the fact that I have 3 new team members, it's huge. You know, and I think it's because I'm more passionate about what I do. So thank you.
Congratulations, and thank you.
Well, unless anybody else has any other comments or questions, it's almost the top of the hour, so we'll probably wrap up.
Yeah, any others? Last chance, sort of a last call for questions.
Yeah, this is Sandra. Are you there? Oh, sorry.
Yep, okay, looks like we got 2 more. So Sandra, go ahead.
Okay, sorry, I hit the wrong button at first, so I wasn't unmuted. I just wanted to, along those lines of chiming in on the last couple of discussions about people not getting back with you. That's, I know for me, that's one of my biggest roadblocks, and it's really in terms of closing team members. So I guess I'm asking if you think the same principles work, like when you should let someone go. I've had so many people, well, I mean several anyway, get so close. For instance, one was at my open house in the fall, my holiday open house, and I interviewed her right there on the spot, and she was very excited, and she's, I mean, even said to the point of, oh, my gosh, I think I might do this. And then she, along with several others, fallen down the same path as, well, then I never can get back with them. I'm like, well, you know, is there any reason why you wouldn't want to start today? And she's like, well, let me just take a few more information and think about it, and then I can never get them back again. So at what point, I mean, I just don't know what happens to them. I don't know if someone poo-poos on their plan or they read negative stuff on the Internet and they decide they don't want to do it. You know, that's my biggest hang-up right now. Because I think I'm okay with sharing the information because I'm passionate about it. I like it. I don't think I oversell it where, you know, I scare them away. I just kind of present it in an informative way and tell them. But we did learn some new techniques about that on our last meeting, actually. But so I knew more effective conversations, but I haven't had a chance to try that out. But so at what point, I mean, here it's April and I can't get back with her. I was going to actually think about texting her and inviting her to something that's coming up, but there again, I don't hear back from her.
Yeah, I think the same thing applies. You know, at some point we have to move these people into you know, an automated sequence of some sort so that we're not draining all of our energy trying to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
When we do the call on how to have more effective interviews, we'll give you some more tools to use. I'll just share one of them with you now. And, you know, if you're doing an interview and you get to a point where, first of all, in an interview, the first thing I want to say is what's most effective, in my opinion, is you want to be looking for what problem does Mary Kay solve for her?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what is it? What's the area that she wants something better in her life? Is it her finances? What is it? And once you find that problem, you want to ask questions about that to sort of build a sense of urgency. That's the most important thing that you can do. Now, when somebody says to me, let me think about it, when I'm selling coaching, for example, what I always say, and I have probably said it to several of you even on the phone, because this is true, this is what happens, is what you want to look for, what you want to say is, you know, would you agree, something along the lines of this, would you agree that there's some areas in your life where you might be a little bit stuck or where you want more? And then what do you think she would answer?
Yes.
Yeah, she'd say yes. And then what I would always say is this. What I want you to consider here, say, what's her name?
Jessica.
Jessica. Jessica, my concern for you is this. Once you walk away from this table and you start to think about it, you're going to be thinking about it with the same thinking that has you stuck in those areas of your life.
That's exactly what my adopted director said the other night. You almost coach Karen Banks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I might coach Karen Banks.
But yeah,
it's exactly the thing you want to say
because
it's that's what happens when they leave the program.
Yeah,
the thinking that has them where they are is what takes over. So the importance of getting the yes on the spot is it's definitely there. But, again, you can only push so far even in that moment. But getting them to actually see that is one of the biggest gifts you can give them.
Right, yeah.
One of the biggest gifts.
We,
you see how you're giving her a gift by having her see that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was great training. She gave us that very same thing just the other night. And she's my adopted director, actually. And she talked about how people make decisions based on moving away from pain more than moving towards pleasure, and exactly what you're just, you know, that they're going to be stuck in that same thinking.
It is, and it is. It's so much more motivating. And like I said, we'll dive, you know, in a couple calls. We're going to go real deep on this. We're going to talk about it for an hour, and then we'll be talking about it on Q&A calls. And it's think about your own life and your own decisions. All decisions are made based on moving toward pleasure or moving away from pain. And it's always more motivating to move away from pain than it is to move toward pleasure. And we can come up with examples over and over again. Like, you know, for example, if somebody on the line smokes cigarettes and I say, you know, when you get your next recruit, I'll buy you a carton of cigarettes, you know, they'll go, woohoo, great. But if I said, well, guess what, you can't smoke another cigarette until you get your next recruit, which do you think would happen faster?
Right.
Choice A or choice B? Choice B, because now you're in pain and you want to get out of pain. And so moving away from pain is more motivating. So you'll get that recruit faster if I take away the cigarettes rather than give you cigarettes.
Right.
And that's true with everybody's decision-making. But again, I want all of you to view that when it comes to getting somebody to see that the thinking they're using to make their decision to engage in Mary Kay is the same thinking that has them where they are in their life. And if you don't point that out to them, you're unlikely to get the recruit.
I also know, too, Chris, that Gloria Mayfield Banks always talked about looking at their feet. Like, she would always do this in person. She did it with all these wonderful groups of hundreds of people, and she'd say to the consultants, okay, look at your feet, you know, just kind of take them off task for a minute. And she said, if you do the same thing that you're doing today, you're going to be in that very same spot in 1 year. So it's the same type of thing, you know, triggering that you're not doing anything different if you're staying exactly where you are.
It's correct. And the words that I use is I tell people what here's what you say to Jessica. Jessica, here's the thing. This is one situation, and Karen probably said this too. Karen Banks probably said this. What I'm asking you to do, Jessica, is I'm asking you to see that you're using the same thinking that has you stuck in your life right now, and I don't want that for you. What I'm suggesting you do is make this decision not based on where you are, but based on where you want to be. Don't make this decision based on where you are, but make it based on where you want to be, because if you continue to make decisions based on where you are is where you stay.
Uh-huh.
You know, Gloria Mayfield Banks said the same thing, but she said it with different words.
Right. And she did say that the other night, and I remembered y'all having said that before when you were talking about, maybe it was the New Level, New Devil, when we were talking about the coaching calls, and you said, make your decision based on where you want to go, not where you are right now. And
yeah.
That really resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. So exactly, say that, especially because it resonates with you. It'll come from a good place because it resonates
uh-huh.
with you.
So, on the other side, I do have two new team members this week. So.
All right. Well, congrats on that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Was there one other person that wanted to weigh in with a question? Because I feel like two people came in at the same time. Does somebody else have a question?
This is Patty.
Hi, Patty.
I just wanted to tell you that through your coaching, I finally got the idea of changing the programming in our brain. We make some calls, and they're not there. You leave a message, or they're not interested right now. They're too busy. And I would always feel like, okay, crap, I made 5. They all said, no, I'm done. It's all about me. I did something wrong. I don't know how to talk to them. And I would always, you know, make myself feel bad and just quit and decide I'll do it tomorrow. And then, of course, then I'd figure out other things to do and say I'll get my business going later. And I'd wait. Well, this week has been a big change for me because as I was calling people and they weren't around, and I actually had some people that had said they won facials, I called them, and the minute I told them who I was, the phone disconnected. And then when I tried calling them back, of course, they didn't answer. So that was a big thing of I filled it out, but I've had second thoughts. And instead of getting upset, I just said, okay, next card, and just kept going until I got somebody booked for a class.
Yeah.
Congrats.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
Wow, I finally get the programming thing of taking the burden on myself and just saying, okay, this is about them, and if they don't want to do it, and they said that at the time they did, for whatever reason, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still keep them and call them in a couple of months and just see if they have a change of heart. But I can get down on myself, and the whole week has been really great. And I made a new recruit today, and it is changing when you start looking at things in a different perspective opposed taken the responsibility on yourself that they don't want to do it.
Mhm. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about how my business is going. So,
well,
thank you.
Congratulations, and as me and Nancy always say, when that shift starts to happen internally, which is what's happening, when we shift internally, that's when we start to see change externally. I mean, that's lasting, long-lasting change. So that's just congratulations.
Thanks.
Okay. I'm gonna use some contrasting of my own. I don't mean to cut anyone off. What I do intend to find out is if there is anybody else that wants to ask a question that has been procrastinating the entire call. Anybody? Okay. Well, it's a little bit after 9 o'clock on the Eastern Coast, so Chris and I are going to say goodnight, and we hope everybody got their questions asked. We'll be back in a little less than 2 weeks with that call, and the special thing about the call coming up is actually Chris and I do it together, and we open the lines and we ask for some participation. So, you know, just come to that with your open mind and your worksheet. And be ready to participate because we're going to deliver some great material and then just ask for some people to volunteer.
Yep, we'll need participation on the next call. So
yeah.
Be here live.
You'll love it. If
and
you
you'll
think
interact.
If you think the stuff we've done up till now has been great, the next call will be mind-blowing. So we hope everybody has a great couple weeks, and we'll talk to you soon. Good night.